All right, can we turn to 2 Timothy? Are you there yet? Maybe in anticipation of the end, not of the service, but of Timothy. It's page 996. If you want to use one of our Bibles, the black Bibles should be underneath you or in front of you underneath. You can grab a Bible. Page 996, 2 Timothy chapter 4. As you're looking, you're thinking, well, my goodness, we're nearly done. Page 996 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. You're there on page 996. Last week we finished by in chapter 3. Paul was finished on a note explaining the importance of Scripture and its usefulness in our lives. And this morning we move into the final chapter of the final book of Paul, or I should say letter. This is it for him. We hear nothing from him after this, so this is very, very good, very moving verses in this chapter. So let's read together. We're going to read the first 8 verses. I've given you an outline. If you'd like to follow along or just kind of know where we're at, it would be helpful. Some of you are in utter shock at this point, saying, my goodness, there's not 3 points. There's only 2 sections. You're not sure how to deal with that, but it's just 2 today. I couldn't find 3. So one last thing and one last drop. So let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 4. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Father, we need your help this morning. Lord, in these remaining moments, Lord, I pray you would open our hearts to hear your word. Holy Spirit, we need to hear a word this morning, Lord. We thank you for the testimonies. We thank you for the celebration, Lord, with the family. Lord, in these moments, turn our hearts to your word and fill us, cleanse us, feed us, and heal us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One last thing, Timothy. As we began in January with these 2 letters, 1 and 2 Timothy, as you know, it's Paul writing to young Timothy, his protege, who is in Ephesus, who he left in Ephesus to kind of clean up some mess and keep track of the false teachers. But now we have the closing words. And he says it's a solemn charge. With God and Christ Jesus looking on, I urge you. Oh, here comes the thing. There it is. Can we do that? All right. In the presence of God and Christ Jesus, I urge you, a solemn charge, to do what? Verse 2, preach the word. Preach the word. These are his final words, encouraging a young man, passing the baton on to the next generation. Paul will not get out of prison. He will be martyred here. Preach the word, which means to herald. That word preach means to herald. It means to proclaim. It means to announce with words. To preach a message. Proclaim it, Timothy. Well, what's the message? Well, 1 Timothy, he tells him, 1 Timothy 1:15, which we covered months and months and months ago. He says, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. That's right in the beginning. That's the core of the message. It all is wrapped up in there. Christ came because we were in need. All of us. Amen. And he has invited us into a reality of heaven that we're exploring the depths of each and every day, and we have through the history of the church. And we're part of that. He says, preach this message, Timothy. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort. This is the what. This is the what of the charge. What's the charge? Preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Telling people what they've done wrong is what that. Well, what does reprove mean? I haven't ever heard that word. It means tell people what they've done wrong. Oh, but don't forget exhort. But tell, you should encourage people as you teach them very, very patiently, Timothy. Preaching the word involves both. Now, we may have, depending on our background, we may have kind of sat under either or, where all we heard was what we did wrong. We're not going to ask even a show of hands, but you just get beat up walking out, right? And we'll have days like that sometimes. The Lord will just kind of wrestle with us. But he doesn't stop there. His encouragement to Timothy is strike the balance of the word. Already in chapter 3, he's already talked to him about Scripture being God-breathed, all of it. He says, listen, preach it. Tell people what they're doing wrong. But encourage them, Timothy. Don't leave them in that. As you patiently teach them. Beautiful. And isn't that what the Holy Spirit does? He does that, doesn't he? He'll put his hand, his finger on things in our life, but then it won't be to kill us, it'll be to lead us, to teach us, to guide us, to bring life to us, the parts that are broken, to bring healing. Put the joints, they're out of socket, let's bring them back together so they're healing correctly. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. What a God. He's not just crushing. We do a lot wrong. Many of us know that. But there's a teacher, there's a helper that's come to help us. Well, when should he do it? Preach the word when? In season and out of season. Basically, whether you feel like preaching or not, whether it's convenient or whether it's inconvenient, Timothy. In season, out of season. Whether people want to hear it or they don't want to hear it. Whether it's a welcome message or an unwelcome message, whether the people are going to want to hear it, preach it. Because there's a lot of people that don't want to hear it. And next week, we'll find out what happened to Timothy. Did he stay the course? Did he stick it out? Did he finish the race as Paul encouraged him to do? We'll find out next week as we just close the book down. But the priest under the law had appointed seasons for sacrifice. The priest in the law. But he's saying to Timothy, but for us, there's no season that's unseasonable. It's all in season. Okay? There's no out of season in our sacrifice world, Timothy. Inside, you're not going to feel that way. You're going to feel like, I don't feel like fighting today. In season, out of season. Because the gospel isn't just for Sunday mornings, isn't it? Worship isn't just for Sunday mornings in our corporate season. Okay, that's how we can, well, what does this mean to us? Well, one is that we don't just open the Bible Sunday morning. It's a season for that, but it's not the only season. In season and out of season. We can do that at home. As I looked at this, it really struck me as a parent, because there's some principles in here for raising children. Very good. Because isn't as parents, we're called, as young Timothy was, to guide these lives that have been entrusted to us. And in that is not just encouraging them, but also correcting them. Now, I don't know that I need to tell you that. Like, we get that, okay? In season and out of season, whether we feel like it or not. Because as parents, it can be very easy to come home from work and say, you know, I just don't want to deal with it. I'll just let it go. But the principle with this is just in-season consistency, Timothy, consistency. Don't crush them under what they're doing wrong. Guide them, but you must correct them. You must correct them. teach them, guide them, all out of love, of course. Okay? Very patiently. Another great way to do it is very practically. Is we have a 9:30 children's program going on. It's phenomenal. I want to thank the teachers. Our kids are excited to come to Children's Church. So thank you. Those of you that are helping and a part of groups, and some of you are in the nursery right now as we speak, great job. Now we're changing adult classes. It's been 8 weeks. The children have gone through two subjects so far. They're about to go into their third rotation. Is that right? Third rotation. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. It's about preaching the word. It's one thing as a parent you can do. I don't know why some of you don't come. In season, out of season, whether you feel like it or not. You can't parent when you feel like it. I'd never parent. You know, I don't mean that in a bad way. You just, let me explain. But I don't go home a ball of energy walking in the door and like on fire to like preach and train and nurture my children. I'm home driving. If I'm not on the phone, I have got to have you, Jesus. I mean, in me, I just want to sit down and read a book or something. It's just, we have great kids. Our kids are awesome. They're wonderful. We don't fight with them. It's tremendous. But you know, you just don't feel like it though, do you? You just don't feel like fighting the fight sometimes, in season and out of season. We can't dwell there, but it's just precious. The guidance that the older Paul is giving the young man. Amen? Timothy, there's just going to be times that you don't feel like fighting. There's going to be times you come home, you just don't want to deal with it. Get in there. Consistency. Why? In this context, why? That's our third. Verse 3 says, itching. There's going to be an itching ear syndrome that comes in, buddy. There's going to be folks that are prone to turn and wander from the truth. And the result is that they're going to stop listening to the true message. They're going to become fascinated with made-up stories or legends. They're not going to endure. Your people, Timothy, are not going to endure healthy or sound doctrine, sound teaching, healthy teaching. There's going to be an insatiable curiosity, unquenchable curiosity. They're going to go get teachers. They're going to find people that speak to their passions or don't speak to their passions. He said, Timothy, it's going to shake you as a young man. They're not going to listen, many of them. They're not going to care about cutting it straight. Remember how we talked about that, Timothy? They're not going to care about it. They're going to be trapped by the devil's snare. But remember, they can be freed from it by speaking patiently, teaching, laboring in season and out of season. The truth, the truth, the truth will set them free. He says, how? How do I do this? Verses 2 and 5. Well, he says, first of all, be sober-minded. Keep your head, Timothy. Don't lose your mind. Some of you parents are saying, oh, yes, now I get it. Don't lose your mind, parents. Don't lose your mind, people. Don't lose your mind, Timothy. Be steady. Keep your head. Stay calm. Control yourself no matter what happens to you. Endure whatever suffering this is going to involve. You got to work hard to tell the good news, and as servants of God, you must do and finish the work that's been assigned to you. You have to succeed, Timothy. You cannot fail. Can you imagine Paul in prison? He's not able to even shake Timothy. He's writing a letter and sending it blind, and what emotions he must have been feeling. This is it. He knows his time's drawing near. And then teach with complete patience. Don't beat them. Have patience. Then he begins the transition into a very personal moment. He's been speaking exhortation to Timothy. Now we begin to get a peek. He opens the curtain and we begin to see his heart. Very moving, very deep, personal. He begins to reveal himself. That's verse 6. There was one more thing to say. One last thing, Timothy. Preach the word. Now he has one more drop. It's a tearful goodbye. He says, the time of my departure is near. That's in verse 6. And that's an image of a boat being untied and sent off from the dock. It's about, literally means to loosening anchor, to loosen the anchor. My time of departure, my anchor is about to be loosened. I'm about to move on from here. There's something weighing on me, Timothy. I'm about to be released into the next life. What hope in that? Amen. Timothy, Paul, that he's experienced, he's seeing his boat being untied and he's departing on a new adventure, so to speak. Amen. It doesn't end here. This is not it. For some of you, that's great encouragement. That this isn't all there is. There's going to be an untying. There's going to be an anchor lifted and you will be released. There'll be a departure from this place. Never is that more acute than when we do a funeral. There was a departure here. Then what? Life doesn't stop here. And then we begin to get echoes of Acts chapter 20. I don't believe I put this in your notes, but you can look this up. Acts chapter 20, verse 24, and Paul's heart says, I do not account my life as of any value nor precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. He says that in Acts. Verse 7, he says, I have fought the good fight. He's already spoke that in Acts. Now he begins to say, I have fought the fight. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, we talked about that back in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, fighting the good fight. It's that journey from promise to the realities of God. Kim and Bill spoke to that. Some of us, we're all in various journeys of the promises of God, reaching the reality of it. That's fighting the good fight. Paul says, I was there at the promise, and I'm now here at the end. I have fought the fight. Also, we spoke about fighting the fight to keep faith, to keep believing. Despite what anchors may be holding us or what the landscape looks like. Fighting the good fight of faith. I have finished the course. I have finished the race in our passage, in our translation. But the focus of this is on the full distance. That's the focus of this passage. That phrase is the distance gone. The full distance. I have gone the whole course. I did not stop. I didn't stop partway. I didn't stop at the obstacle. I continued. Funny thing from prison, huh? I was faithful. I have kept the faith. I've been faithful to the end. Now, there was all kinds of things that people believe that might mean, but I have preserved the truth. I have preserved the teachings and the message, free from error, could be one. Faithful with the ministry that's been entrusted to me. I really like that. Because God has entrusted a ministry to all of us. And Paul is saying, I was faithful with that ministry. And then he goes in verse 8. We're going to come back to verse 6, and I believe that's really where we'll land. But verse 8 says there's a real promise of victory. See, and at the very end, he says, you know, Paul's, I fought the fight, I finished the course, and I've kept the faith, and there's a prize. There's a crown. There's a victory. The crown of righteousness. But you know what? It's not just for me. Did you see that at the very end? But you know, not only for me. not only for me, but for all those who will follow Timothy. And it's not about finishing first. I may have shared this, but when I was in high school, I ran the hurdles. And I had a year or two where I couldn't get... I would run as hard as I could for the first 200 meters, and then coming around the backstretch, I'd almost always be winning. And then I would trip over the hurdles. I mean trip, and down we went. Over and over and over, like 4, 5, 6 meets in a row. Terrible. Like, and we ran on cinder tracks back then too, so it was messy. Yeah, so I'd be laying on the ground watching everyone go. I'd have to pick myself up and keep going and finish. And that is the vision I got reading this. Like, it isn't about winning. Winning is finishing the course that's been given to you. So whatever hurdles have tripped you up, there's hope. Whether you're laying face down bleeding right now, it's laid out before us. Paul says, Paul, shipwrecked, beaten, we could go on for what he experienced, but I finished. And the crown is for those who faithfully finish the full distance. Yes, yes, yes. You know, we pray for the young people, and I look at you guys, you young teenagers, that we talk to DJ, discouragement. You know, the plan is to trip you up, get you out of the race. Then you're done. To quit. Brandon, he hasn't quit. He hasn't quit. It'd be really easy, wouldn't it? Been through a lot. Hurdle after hurdle. They may trip over another one someday. But he gets back up. That's the word to be talking about. There'll be a crown for you. Just keep it. Finish the course. You have a ministry he's given you. Very unique, different than us, different than Paul. It's a good thing. Finish. Finish it. Don't be knocked out. And then coming back to verse 6, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. That's our last point there. Paul really is repeating a statement from Philippians 2:17. I'll read that to you. He says, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with you all. Paul's used this phrase before, the drink offering, being poured out as a drink offering. At least twice he's used that exact picture. And I believe it's a hinge or a pin that holds all of this together. You want to know how you finish the race? Do you want to know how you keep the faith and you are faithful to the end? It's right here, verse 6. Beautifully illustrates what Paul identifies as the drink offering, which you can read about in Numbers 15 or Numbers 28 is probably a good one to look at. I'll just read it to you, Numbers 28, verse 4. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. And he goes on, the burnt offering, he said, the drink offering shall be offered for each lamb, and you shall pour the drink offering of strong drink to the Lord. It was basically, it ended the daily sacrifice where they would take, some of you are going to be really excited. I have an object. Yeah, isn't that neat? I haven't got to PowerPoint yet, but I'll do this. But whatever it looked like, you know, and don't forget the imagery of where we've been. Just about a chapter before, he was talking about vessels, right? A vessel of honor, a vessel of dishonor, one that had been cleansed for honorable use. Well, Paul uses he's a vessel now being poured out. And in the sacrifice, they would take strong drink or wine or however you want to translate that, and they would pour it over the altar in the holy place. It was the end of the sacrifice. It followed the sacrifice. Strong drink poured out. So let's look at the context here. Think for a moment. The imagery. If Christ is the final sacrifice once and for all, okay? In Hebrews 7:27 tells me he is. If Christ is the final sacrifice, then it follows that there is now a drink offering being offered on the altar. Well, what is it, though? Well, Joel 2:28 says, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Joel's prophesying that many, many years before Christ. Turn left to Acts. If any of you have got quick fingers, I'm going to get there and read it. Acts chapter 2. This is important. So holding this all together. Acts chapter 2, 14. Actually, I'll start at 13. Okay. The apostles or the folks, the disciples are in the upper room. They're praying, and the Holy Spirit comes down, flames of fire, and it just looks crazy time. All kinds of things happening, and we have folks that are out in the city looking at all this, going, "What on earth?" Mocking them. And in verse 13, it says, "But others mock, saying, they're filled with new wine. Look at them." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. He says, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to hear my words." Hey, listen up. "For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day." I mean, if it would have been the sixth hour, yeah, they could be drunk with wine. But since it's only the third, they're not. Okay? That was a joke. All right, can we? Yeah, uh-huh. See, it's because he's arguing, saying, "Hey, listen, they're not drunk because it's only the third hour. Like, listen, like, give them some more time. But they're not drunk at this point." Okay? He said, but listen to what he says it is. "This is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. This is what you're seeing. They're not drunk with new wine. In the last days, God declares he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh." And it goes on and on. "This is what's going on in this age," he says. "It's a whole new game. Because there has been a sacrifice and there will never be another. And now there's an offering, drink offering, now being poured out. And will continually be poured out. Until the consummation of all things. The hope of his appearing." That's how he ends there. The crown's gone for those who loved his appearing as well. But Paul now is saying to Timothy, "My life is being poured out onto the altar." Phillips paraphrases it, says, "I feel that the last drops of my life are being poured out." Isn't that powerful? Young man, the last drops of my life are being poured out to God. Amen. Capture the imagery. He didn't say, "Timothy, the last drops are being sucked out of the straw. The Roman Empire is sucking the last drops out of me." It's not going, "My container's broken and it's leaking out. You know, it's ebbing out, man." He was being poured out. Which symbolizes the act of another. Like, this thing can't pour itself out. We can break it, we can take it out, but it can't pour itself out. It has to be taken and poured out. He was gripped by another. So picture Paul. Picture ourselves as a vessel found, fought faithfully. Went the full distance, faithful to the end. How? He allowed himself to be poured out at the hands of the high priest. See, and Paul had nothing of himself to pour out, did he? The only thing Paul had was from God. So what God was pouring out to Paul, Paul was then pouring out to them. And in this particular context, the last drops of that were coming out. His time was closing. That chapter was closing. Timothy's like this and like this. This. See, Timothy has a lot more to go. He said, "Man, you've got some more stuff in you. You've got more stuff that's been poured out in you. My drops are gone. My drops are going. Don't be alarmed by that." Romans 5 says, I believe it's verse 5, says that God's love has been poured out by the Holy Spirit. God's love has been poured out. See, now when you read this, When you see the word poured out, think of it in that context. What pouring out? What? Think of it in terms of sacrifice. At the close of the sacrifice, there's a pouring out. Christ, our sacrifice. That's it. There will never be another. Not like that. So two things really need to happen for us. Well, we spoke about it in generosity. You know, everything we have to give has been given to us. We must see everything in light of His giving. So any ministry that we have, anything Brandon can do or anybody can do, has to be received, has to be poured out from God before we can pour it out to others. So really, two things this morning as we close. Benjamin, you guys want to come up. They started a song in prayer this morning, which was perfect for to end with. Two things. One, we need a fresh filling. We need a fresh filling this morning. All of us do. Wherever we are in the journey, man, we need fresh outpouring of His Spirit, of love and everything we have need of. Does anybody want filled anew? Yes. Some of you feel like your last drops are being poured out, but you know that your time of departure is not near. Anybody feel like that? Your last drops are going out. But like it is, it's way too soon. This is not how it's going to end. You need a fresh filling. David in Psalm 23 says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." Pouring out of His Holy Spirit, overflowing. It's interesting that Jesus' first miracle, the wedding at Cana, what did He do? He changed vessels full of water into wine to be poured out to the guests. Aren't we all vessels? Now, this isn't we're all going home and getting, we're going to take a bottle and start filling ourselves up. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? That's one. We need a fresh filling. The second one is, this was fun. We need God's, what I have written here, His pouring posture. His pouring posture. See, no vessel pours while it's sitting straight up and down. It must be tipped. Or bowed down. Right? That's a pouring posture. So the only way to be used by God and poured out to those around us in useful ministry is to humble ourselves before God now. It's our pouring posture. That was clever, Brandon. I thought that was clever. The pouring posture. Thanks. See, we see it in Paul's life as he ends his life. That was Paul's posture, poured out. And it ought to be our posture as well. Nothing comes out when we're straight up and down. May we be a fellowship that is bowed down, pouring out our lives. Not our own skills, not our own gifts, not as clever as we can be, but we're filled up, poured out, filled up, poured out, filled up, poured out. Ephesians, I'll read this to you and we'll be done. Where is Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 3. He says, "I will bow my knee before the Father." Can that be our prayer? We will bow our knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant to you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in our inner being. We need strengthened in our inner being. That's what this is talking about. That we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend the depth, the width, the height of the love of God. That's what it is. Filled, poured out. So, let's stand. "We Fall Down" was a song you opened with today. It was great. It's a great way to end. One last thing, Timothy. I got a charge for you. Preach. In season, out of season. Truth must come out of your lips, whether you feel like it or not. And second, one last drop. The last drops of my life are being poured out. Timothy, learn a pouring posture. So my prayer this morning is that we would learn in a humble position before God to let Him fill us, let Him pour out His Spirit on us, filling us anew as we're poured out onto this world after the final sacrifice. Ponder that this week. Our lives being poured out is the drink offering until He comes again. Hallelujah. If you're part of the prayer team, you guys, if you're on this week, you guys can come up. And as Benjamin just leads us and we fall down, it's a great, that's the pouring posture. We fall down before God to be filled, and then go out and be poured out. If you're part of the prayer team, you guys can come down and just kind of, let's pray. Father, I thank You for a wonderful morning, Lord. Thank You for the power of Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the testimony of Kim and Bill. Lord, we thank You for the testimony that we could just spend all day talking about Your goodness to us. And Father, in these moments, Lord, I pray that You would fill us again with Your Spirit. Lord, even as Joel prophesied, Lord, that You would pour out Your Spirit on all flesh, Lord. You would pour out Your love upon us, that we would, Lord, then pour it out on others. Lord, we receive from You, pour it out on others. Lord, I pray for those here today, Lord, that would need a filling. Father, perhaps they have never bowed their knee to You. Perhaps they have never begun the journey, Lord. I pray You would lead them, Lord, in that loving way You do. Lord, draw people to Yourself, Lord. Your goodness, Your love, Your compassion. Lord, I thank You for the ministries that You have here in this room. Pray for faithfulness. Lord, in this coming week, Lord, lead us. Fill us, Lord. Fill us anew to be poured out as a drink offering, Lord, our lives, Lord. That in our final moments, Lord, we could feel, Lord, we're giving up our last drop, Lord. It's not been stolen from us. It's not been taken, Lord. We've given it to You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, let us be a church, a community, Lord, of believers and families, Lord, that are bowed down before You in a posture, Lord, of humbleness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.